Yelton, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast.
Welcome to Utopia.
Hey everyone, welcome in. It is a Thursday. Although I'm recording this on Thursday, you might be watching or listening to it on Friday, but it is an end of the week edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. Great to be with you. I am Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. weekdays. You can get it on the Odyssey app, on the radio, YouTube, Twitch. You can stand out in our lobby and hear us yelling sometimes. Actually, you can't do that. They won't let you up to our lobby, but I appreciate you guys tuning into the podcast. Appreciate you tuning into the radio show as well, which you can also get on podcast via the Odyssey app and wherever it is you get your podcasts. Big one this Sunday, man. We are here in week two of the NFL season, and we got the Bears coming to town for the first Sunday night football game at NRG Stadium since week 13 of the 2019 season. That night, on that fateful evening back in 2019, it was a quarterback by the name of Deshaun Watson and a wide receiver by the name of DeAndre Hopkins that led the Texans to a 28-22 scintillating victory over the New England Patriots, a team that had the Texans' number, a team that they'd been unable to beat for so many years, and they finally beat them. And they were behind Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know whatever happened to those two guys, but they on that night they were outstanding. And you might think, well, that's interesting. They broke through in week 13 of a 2019 season and they finally beat the Patriots. That was probably the catalyst for some amazing things moving forward with that football team. That's probably just the elixir, just the springboard that they needed to catapult into the lofty atmosphere of the big cheeses of the NFL. And I would tell you that if you don't recall what happened, that the very next week, the Texans found themselves trailing at home to a Denver Bronco team led by not John Elway, Drew Locke, 35-3. Might have been 38-3, actually. I don't remember. They were trailing by quite a bit. It was enough for Bill O'Brien to yell as he was walking down the tunnel at halftime, trying to, I'm sure, find the exact words to share with his team, to try to inspire them to come back in this game and show some of the chutzpah that they had shown the week before against the New England Patriots, a much better team, the defending Super Bowl champions that year, than the Denver Broncos, who were at the time waylaying the Texans. And O'Brien, as he strolled down the hallway and he's looking for the words to share, he looked up into the crowd, saw a fan, and said the most eloquent of words, "You suck too, motherfucker. You suck too." Quite a moment in Texans history. O'Brien had to come and apologize at his press conference on Monday. DeAndre Hopkins, again, I don't know whatever happened to that kid, but he had to calm him down. So that's what happened the next week. After that, you might say, well, that they must have taken whatever happened in that loss, and they ended up losing that game to the Broncos. Whatever happened in that loss must have been some good teaching moments that allowed them to prosper as they made it to the postseason that year. And for a week it did. They beat the Buffalo Bills basically on a bunch of circus plays by Deshaun Watson. But then the following week, they got a 24-0 lead against the Chiefs and proceeded to trail by halftime of that game, 28-24. So anyways, I don't know why I'm reliving all these things other than to say if it feels like that was a long time ago, which to me, it feels like it was decades ago because of all the things the team has been through since then, things much worse than things I was just talking about. I mean, if we could have just prevented Jack Easterby from being here, I would have gone through many, many games trailing 38-3 for a period of time. I lay all that out because it's been a long time since we've had this, and this is fun. And this team is not going to be trailing 38-3 to Drew Locke or have a coach who's dog cussing fans walking down the tunnel or a quarterback who just a year after all these accomplishments that I'm talking about would be getting sued by 20 some odd women and add one more woman to that in the last week. So that's why I do that to illustrate that we live in good times now, that those times are 5 years ago. and they're way in the rearview mirror. The football gods would never smite us again, would they? Would they? So let's get right to it. A reminder to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast if you could. If you haven't subscribed already, hit that subscribe button and you will automatically get the podcast. We are into the season now, so now is a good time to get it. 3 episodes a week if you're new to the podcast. The next one will be right after the Bears game. Well, maybe not right after the post game. Post game is going to end at 1:30 in the morning, so I'll probably do it after my show the next morning when I get done at 8 a.m. On Payne and Pendergast on Monday morning. Of course, on Mondays during the football season, Seth and I are only on from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer have 8 to 10 a.m. for Texans Radio. So that'll be the next episode. So if you're new to the podcast, 3 episodes a week, mailbag on Tuesday, preview on Thursday or Friday of the upcoming game, and then a recap of the game as close to after post game as I can get it done. So that's how we go. But hit subscribe. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It'll just pop up on your phone and give us a rating and a review. That's always really cool. If you want to send an email for next week's mailbag, feel free to do so. HOUmailbag@gmail.com. HOUmailbag@gmail.com is where you can send that. Before we get into the podcast, we're into the podcast. Before we get into the six-pack, previewing the game between the Bears and the Texans, and that's the format I do it in. I pick 6 different things and give you my take on those 6 elements to the game. 5 elements plus a prediction, hence the six-pack. But first, big congratulations to Joe Mixon, one of the newest Texans, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. 30 carries, 159 yards, 101 yards after contact. Of all the things that jumped out at me on the press release, for Mixon's accomplishment this past week, that was the one that jumped out at me because it felt like 101 yards after contact. Joe Mixon is a monster. He is a beast, and he's not going to carry the ball 30 times every week. I think that was a special situation. I think there's certain games on this schedule that are more important than others, and that's not even a disrespect to an opponent thing. You know my take on the Colts game a week ago. It was the most important game on the schedule because the playoffs don't matter. If you know, winning the division is typically a part of the ticket of winning a Super Bowl. You don't see wild card teams winning the Super Bowl. So winning a division is usually part and parcel of winning a Super Bowl. If you're going to win the division, there are certain games that carry greater weight than others. I believe the Colts are the second best team in the division, and thus the road game at the Colts is the most important game on the schedule to me. So I think that was a game where D'Amico Ryans went into it and you could see that Joe Mixon had something going against that defense. You know, you could see that the offensive line had something going there. So there is an element of riding the hot hand. And I think there is an element of like, look, we really need this game. There will be games in the future that will be close in the second half where they will still be probably balancing Joe Mixon and whoever the number 2 back is at the time. For now, it's Damian Pierce. Maybe it remains Damian Pierce. Damian ran well in the few touches that he had against the Colts. But, I mean, obviously, it's not going to be a 30-carry week for Mixon every week. But I do think I could almost pick out which games for you on the schedule that I would take over like 23.5 carries for Mixon on. 30 is extreme. I get that. But that's what's going to happen when you're trying to close out a game. And that's the biggest takeaway for me. They hand out these awards oftentimes based on stats. You know, 30 carries, 159 yards. It's one of Mixon's 3 or 4 most productive games in his career. It's the greatest debut for a Texans running back ever, I think. It's one of the greatest debuts for a running back with a new team in the history of the league. The Texans haven't had that many good running backs in their history. Joe Mixon is probably just the rest of this season away from putting his name alongside Arian Foster or at least right beneath Arian Foster as among the best backs in the history of this franchise without question. So as far as Mixon goes, the big games where he's going to, like the Chiefs game, the Ravens game down the road, I think that Lions game at home, there are going to be certain games where they're just going to ride. They're going to ride Joe Mixon. And then others where they're going to be load managing him. It's just necessary. The main thing is you want to make sure he's still running hard and running healthy at the end of the year. So congratulations to Joe Mixon. Congratulations to Nick Caserio for trading for Joe Mixon. It was a really, really good week for Nick Caserio last week. Joe Mixon, Offensive Player of the Week, Stephon Diggs, 2 touchdowns, Nico Collins, who Nick gave an extension to this offseason, 117 yards receiving. Kyme Fairbairn, who Nick Caserio gave a new contract to this offseason, 3 field goals of 50 yards or more. Danielle Hunter did not have a big game statistically in the box score, but I thought if you go back and watch that game, he and Will Anderson both were really causing a lot of clutter for Anthony Richardson. So I think he was they were a big reason why the two of them, one, that Jonathan Taylor only ran for 48 yards, and two, that aside from those huge Hail Mary plays that Anthony Richardson had, he was 6 of 16 for 41 yards. I shouldn't say the crosser to Ashton Doolin was a nice pass that the Texans just blew the coverage on, but the two passes to Pierce, I'll let Anthony Richardson try those all day, you know, like and hope that the Texans don't screw it up as badly as they did. So Danielle Hunter, you know, another new acquisition. Azeez Al-Shaair, he didn't show up too much for me. I'm going to give Al-Shaair a few games when he's not playing against Anthony Richardson before I start making really hardcore early impressions on him. But so far, so good, man. Like, there are some teams. The Eagles had 2 free agents that they signed. I saw something. Bryce Huff, and there was one other. Devin Smith. They gave him like $37 million guaranteed. The two of them, one of them was like a healthy scratch, and the other one's like fourth string right now. So the perils of free agency, but so far so good for the Texans. All right, let's get to the pregame six-pack and get you guys ready for this game. Again, 7-point spread between the Texans and the Bears. Texans are -7. Opened at -6.5 earlier this week. It's moved to -7. I'd be very surprised if it moved to 7.5. I'll give you my prediction a little later on in the six pack here, but I would be surprised if that went to 7.5, only because I think that a lot of the sharps would probably jump on it at that point when the spread gets to be more than 2 scores. I do think that the spread should be more than 7, just based on the Bears' complete inability to move the ball against Tennessee. Tennessee's got a nice defense. They got some good pieces. Texans have just as many good pieces as the Titans do, if not better. And the game's going to be in NRG Stadium. I think that's the big thing. If all we're going off of is week one, and it's the only game we have to go off of with Caleb Williams so far, they needed a miracle to beat the Titans at home. They needed a horrible pick six thrown by Will Levis and a block punt for a touchdown to beat the Titans at home. My guess is that the stadium on Sunday, NRG Stadium, is going to be rocking. I think it helps that it's a night game. I think the Bears would give their collective left nut. If the Bears were one gigantic human being with 2 nuts, I think they would give the left one of that gigantic 53-headed human being to play that game at noon on Sunday. I don't think they want any part of that night game atmosphere. I think it's going to be cool. Wear white if you're going to the game. That's what the Texans are telling everybody to do. But I really like the Texans in this one, and I'll lay out why here over the next couple of minutes. So let's start with the six-pack here. And six-pack point number one, protect C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud mentioned multiple times in his press conference on Wednesday the mistakes that the Texans made during the Colts game. He said in at least 3 of his answers that the Texans shot themselves in the foot, that they left points on the field, that they were, he may have mentioned rust, that they made mistakes early in the game. It took them a while to kind of get things going, and they did get things going eventually. I thought there were times they looked really good in the first half, but I thought CJ in particular looked like he was like a B- the first half, and then he was back to being CJ in the second half of that game. But even CJ himself, and he said this, that post route to Tank Dell, that I think CJ 9 times out of 10 just drops that in the back of the end zone and Tank runs underneath it and gets it. CJ underthrew it and it was almost intercepted. It got knocked away by the defensive back. They left a lot of points on the field. I think some of that, especially in the first half, was due to poor pass protection. CJ was sacked 3 times in the first half. There were times he had to operate out of a muddy pocket. There were times he was chased out of the pocket. So I think this we know. When you protect CJ Stroud and give him time to throw, he's a machine. He's a robot. He's a cheat code. So I think giving him time, specifically keep an eye on the matchup of Titus Howard at right tackle against Montez Sweat coming off the edge for the Bears. Last week in the game against the Titans, Sweat was coming off the – he was lined up over the right tackle against the Titans for most of the game. If they do that again, and that's what I would do with Sweat, I'd be way more inclined to line him up over there than line him up against Laremy Tunsil. So Titus Howard needs to have a better game than he had last week. There were a few times he was getting pushed into CJ's lap. He needs to play like a tackle that's making nearly $20 million a year, because he's making nearly $20 million a year. So that's number one for me, is just protect CJ. I think if they protect CJ, this is a 30-point plus game for the Houston Texans. If CJ Stroud gets time to throw, especially now that you've got a running game and you've got real play action to go along with CJ, not kind of fugazi play action, because you ran the ball crappy a bunch of times and you get at least a little time from play action. You legitimately have to respect the run now. If this is how the Texans run block and this is how Joe Mixon's going to run the ball, my guess is we see a little more Damian Pierce in this game. Maybe Cam Akers is active. Who knows? I don't think they're going to put Mixon through back-to-back 30-carry games. So when Damian's in, he's going to have to do good things like he did in his 3 carries. My guess is he's going to get maybe 8 to 10 carries in this game. So, but bottom line, protecting CJ, that is can number one in the six-pack. I'll hold up a can of Zevia. Along those lines, number two, and this is one I'm just, this kind of goes hand in hand with protecting CJ. I am super excited to watch the Texans' big three wide receivers go against these corners with the Bears. This is a good secondary for the Bears. Really good. This is one of the best secondaries the Texans are going to face all season long. Jalen Johnson, newly paid cornerback this past offseason. He got a $20 million a year $20 million a year contract. Tyreek Stevenson is a really good second corner. And then Kyler Gordon out of Washington. He was a rookie last year, I believe. He's their slot corner. Those are three like pretty solid NFL cornerbacks. They're not having to piece anything together in Chicago. Going against Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs. I don't know what the Dalton Schultz situation is as we're recording this. Schultz was out Wednesday with an injury, with an ankle injury. I don't know what his situation is as we record this. I apologize. But that's something to keep an eye on. If they're going to blanket those three receivers, and now you got the tight end to work with, it might end up being Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover that are getting those. So, maybe a little note for fantasy people, especially ones that have Dalton Schultz on their team, maybe a little Brevin Jordan waiver pickup. If I had to guess, if Dalton Schultz is out and you're asking me which tight end do I think is going to get the lion's share of the targets, I would say it's probably Brevin Jordan. I think he's the more, at this point, maybe a little more polished pass catcher than Stover. Stover's got obviously a better chance, I think, to be an all-around tight end, but Cade Stover is only in his second NFL game. And there is a little something with C.J. Stroud and Brevin Jordan. They've got a little bit of a connection there. So might not be a bad pickup, but the big three receivers versus the Bears' three cornerbacks is going to be just an awesome watch, to see, do they man up there? Do they play conservative like Indianapolis did in the first half of that game and kind of give them room underneath? This should be great. And in that atmosphere with those three receivers in the NRG Stadium with all the noise and everything else. Now, CJ told you guys, keep it down while they're on offense, okay? So I don't want you to take what I just said as permission for you to start yelling your heads off while the offense is out there. When the offense is out there, picture Toro holding a sign that says, quiet, men at work. Because the men are working, okay? But that's number two, the wide receivers in this game against the Bears corners. This will be good on good, man. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. All right, number three, we just got done talking about Joe Mixon. Several cups of Joe for you on Sunday. Dad joke. But seriously, I don't think he's getting 30 carries in this game on Sunday. Whoops, my headphones just fell out. My apologies. Let's see. There we go. I don't think he's getting 30 carries on Sunday, but I think Joe Mixon is obviously a huge part of the game plan, especially if they're up in the second half. They've now got an offense, it would appear, one game into the season at least, that they can line up and run the football and actually run a 4-minute offense. If you remember back to those one-score games last year that the Texans played, there were so many of them that came down to the defense having to make a play at the end of the game because the offense couldn't hold on to the football. They couldn't convert third down. So you were forced to have Steven Nelson getting an interception at the end of the, I think that was the Saints game. You had Steven Nelson again with a pass breakup against the Cardinals to end that game. You had Jimmy Ward with the interception to end the win over Denver. So, if you can run the football, then you don't need to worry about your defense having to make a play. You end the game like you did last week against the Colts with C.J. Stroud genuflecting. But you should know the Bears last week gave up 5.1 yards per carry to Tony Pollard. Joe Mixon's a better running back than Tony Pollard. Pollard's a little more explosive, but Joe Mixon, that was maybe the most impressive thing to me about last week's game with Joe, was he had 159 yards on 30 carries. He didn't have a single carry that was longer than 13 yards. So he was just pounding them and pounding them and pounding them. A lot of times you see guys, 30 carries, 159 yards. What's their long run? 46 yards or 53 yards. There's always one big long play in there. You know, so they average 5-point-something yards per carry. But you back that play out, and it's more like, you know, 4 yards per carry or something like that. Not the case with Mixon, man. You can back out his probably 3 or 4 best runs, and he probably still averaged damn near 5 yards a carry. You know, like he was that consistent throughout the game, just pounding, pounding, pounding that Colts defense into chopped meat. I think they can do that same thing against the Bears at NRG Stadium. So look for a lot of Joe Mixon again. And I would say probably a little more Damian Pierce than we saw in the first matchup or in the first week in the matchup against the Colts. So that is number three. Number four in the six pack, special teams. It's weird that we got to bring up special teams in the six pack because with the Texans, that's usually something you just sort of take for granted. Frank Ross is a special teams coordinator, and whether the team is good or the team is shitty, the special teams typically are very, very good. Special, not the case last week. By and large, pretty decent. You know, there was nothing really glaring in the return game one way or the other that jumped out at me between the Colts and the Texans. And Kymie Fairbairn was outstanding. He kicked 3 field goals of 50 yards or longer, but you can't allow a block punt. The Texans allowed a block punt that essentially for a touchdown. It got down at the 5-yard line, and one play later, Jonathan Taylor is sashaying into the end zone. So the Texans gave up a block punt for a touchdown. The Bears blocked a punt for a touchdown in that Titans game. That's what allowed them to get back in that game and eventually win, was they had a block punt. Jonathan Owens scooped up a block punt for a touchdown in that game. The only path the Bears have to winning in this game, if there's a game script that ends in a Bears victory, it includes some sort of gaffe on special teams. You know, either a blocked field goal that they return for a touchdown or deep into Texans territory, or a block punt like last week, like they allowed against the Colts. I don't think the Bears win this game without some flukery. I could have said some other word right there, but I'm trying to be good about that. I don't know how many of you listen to this podcast with like kids in the car and stuff. So I still say some bad words. But your kids are going to learn them eventually anyways. So start them young. But anyways, back to special teams. There is not a version of the Bears winning this game that doesn't include some sort of special teams gaffe by the Texans, something that hands the Bears points. That's what kept the Colts in the game last week. The block punt. But then there, you know, I'll call them gaffes, like gigantic, a 60-yard touchdown where you've got actual pressure on the quarterback. You can't do that. You just can't do that. You can't give up 55-yard bombs or 57-yard bombs on 3rd and 15. You can't do that. So the Colts hung into that game because, in my mind, a little bit of flukery. And I know I say fluky. Look, I know the Texans gave up those plays. I understand that. But those are plays that even bad teams make, and I don't think the Texans are a bad team. So hence, I think it's flukery. If you ask me if I think the Colts are going to get 350-plus yard plays when they play in Week 8 against the Texans, I'll bet no, because it just, even with bad teams, that doesn't happen all that often. So special teams got to lock it down, man. You can't allow anything. You can't give away points. The Bears aren't a good football team, but they're not a horrific football team either. And I think if you're just consistent, and we'll get to Caleb Williams here in a second, but if you're consistent in all three phases, like just not, you don't need to be spectacular. If you're yourself in all three phases at home, you're going to win that game. So special teams, number four. Number five, Caleb Williams. You got to confound the hell out of Caleb Williams. He looked like a mess against the Titans last week. The stats backed up what the eye test gave. And they ran a lot of shotgun with him. He was running around for his life a lot. All the improv stuff that he did at USC and that he did in the preseason this year, like none of it translated against the Titans. And I don't think any of it translates against the Houston Texans either. I think the interior part of the offensive line for the Bears is a big problem for the Bears. And so I would look for the defensive line in this game. It's easy to say Fatakasi and Mario Edwards have the big games, but I think they'll find ways to take advantage of that weakness in the interior that's really going to benefit Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson on the outside. I'd be shocked if Danielle or Will or both didn't get their first sack of the season on Sunday. So, I think Caleb Williams is a rookie who's going to be playing in his second game. He says he doesn't get nervous. He looked nervous as hell last week against the Titans, and that was at home. This is going to be in a big-time atmosphere on a Sunday night football game going up against going up against C.J. Stroud, where if you're asking me which quarterback is going to get swept up in the whole, you know, I call it the WrestleMania picture, the poster, the main event poster on the marquee, where you got the two guys in the main event like staring at each other, you know, like Andre the Giant here and Hulk Hogan here, and they're staring at each other. Well, that's C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams. If you're going to ask me which of the two quarterbacks playing in this game is going to get swept up in that aspect of it, I would guess Caleb Williams would. So that's number five. So we get to my number six. That would be the prediction. Look at this. My tab just came off of this thing. My prediction is Texans 30, Bears 16 in this game. I think Texans win by a couple touchdowns. I don't think the spread gets to more than 7, just because I think there will be a constituency out there that will then back the Bears at 7.5 and hope that they stay within a score. But I think that 30-16 feels about right. I think that there's a better chance that what we saw, the negatives we saw in the Colts game, are things they improve upon in week two than those things becoming a trend. I don't see them giving up gigantic monster plays against the Bears. I see the pass protection improving the way that it did throughout the game in week one. I see that. And I don't think CJ is going to have one mediocre half and one good half like he did last week. I think he's going to have two good halves, even against a really solid defense like the Bears. So 30-16 is my prediction. Final score, book it. Ka-ching. All right. I don't know why I'm making so many sound effects. Just humor me. All right. Hey, a quick reminder, subscribe to the podcast, rate, review. We appreciate that so much that you guys are along for the ride with us here on the Utopia Football Podcast throughout the season. And another reminder, houmailbag@gmail.com. Appreciate all you loyal emailers. We get a few new ones every week too, and that's really, really cool as well. So keep sending them in. If I don't get to them, I try to get to as many as I can that don't make it on the podcast. And if I can reply, I do. I'm super busy, as you can probably tell, with the radio show and pre and post for the Texans and everything, but I do my best. All right. So with that, we are done. Big thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting the podcast out to all of you. See y'all on early Monday morning with the next edition of the podcast following what we all hope is a Texans victory. So until then, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. Go Texans. We'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Utopia Football Podcast.